I thank the Lord for salvation and all that, but the church, having the truth of God's Word and being able to meet with people that have the same desire is, I don't know, it's priceless. I don't think we really understand until we maybe get to heaven how priceless it is, that there's not everybody that has what we have. And I thought about how some people say, this is just my testimony, so let me testify before I preach, if you don't mind. I think about the scripture that says, while they promise you liberty, they themselves are servants of corruption. And I feel at liberty. I feel a great liberty in being saved. I don't feel bound at all. And listen, I've had it on both sides. I've been out in the world. Oh, you say, Brother Darrell, the little stuff that you did, it was enough to take me to hell. Might not have been as much as what you did, but I'm glad I didn't do as much as you did. But I knew that I was bound. There were things that I did that I didn't want to do. And I couldn't keep from doing it. I had to, can't help it. And y'all know what I'm talking about, don't you? But then when the Lord came into my heart and He saved me. You know, back then I had liberty to do what I wanted to do, go where I wanted to go, do what I wanted to do, say what I wanted to say. All those things I had, I'm using this in quotation, liberty to do those things. But some of those things I didn't want to do, I felt bound by it. And I felt like there was an erosion of my moral stand. There was an erosion of my spiritual life. And when the Lord saved me, He cleaned me up. And He set my feet on solid ground. And I have no regrets for the life that I've lived these last 30-something years. I thank the Lord for that. I thank the Lord for salvation. I thank the Lord for how faithful He's been to me. And I want to just encourage you today, keep living for the Lord. Don't give up. Don't let the enemy convince you that there's something better out there. It's not. May the Lord help us. You know, one of the things that I've said oftentimes in my ministering, there is no salvation without the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, right? Sister brought out in her testimony, she said that, what was the point in Him suffering and dying? Salvation, there's sacrifice, right? So the sacrifice of His body, His blood, His life. And in the same way, for me to have that kind of salvation, there's going to be a sacrifice for me. It wasn't just for Jesus. It says, must Jesus bear the cross alone and all the world go free? No, there's a cross for everyone and there's a cross for me. I have to sacrifice. I have to sacrifice my will. I have to sacrifice my desires in order to have this great salvation, just like Christ sacrificed Himself. May the Lord help us. Pray for me. I want to be faithful to the Lord. Let us turn to 2 Chronicles, the first chapter, and I want to read, starting at the 7th verse. 2 Chronicles 1, verse 7. Have it, you can read it for us.
And that night.
God appeared unto Solomon. Let's back up because I want to. Oh yes, let's go ahead. I might want you to get a little bit further. I put this down as what I wanted, and there's another in 1 Kings that I may want you to go to. But let's just go ahead and read that 7th verse. In that night did God
appear
unto Solomon and said unto him, "Ask what I shall give thee." And Solomon said unto God, "Thou hast showed great mercy unto my David my father, and you have made me to reign in his stead. Now, O Lord God, let thy promise unto David my father be established, for thou hast made me king over a people like the dust of the earth in multitude. Give me thou wisdom and knowledge, that I may go out and come in before this people. For who can judge thy people that is so great?" And God said to Solomon, "Because this was in thine heart, and thou hast not asked riches, wealth, honor, nor the life of thine enemy, neither yet hast asked long life, but hast asked wisdom and knowledge for thyself, and that thou mayest judge my people over whom I have made thee king, wisdom and knowledge is granted unto thee. And I will give thee riches and wealth and honor, such as none of the kings have had that have been before thee, neither shall there be any after they have the like." Now, here is a question that I believe the Lord us to ask all of it. It was just not for Solomon, for him to ask Solomon. He says here in the 7th verse, "In that night did God appear unto Solomon and said unto him, Ask what I shall give thee." Now, what you'll notice is that Solomon, prior to this, and the reason I considered you reading that, but for the sake of time, we won't. Solomon made a sacrifice unto the Lord. He sacrificed 1,000 rams, animals, on the altar of the Lord. And following this sacrifice, the Lord said to Solomon, because I believe what the Lord wanted, what the Lord understood, and what I believe the Lord wants us to understand today is that Solomon's heart was prepared to receive what it is that the Lord was willing to give him. And so when we have made the proper sacrifices to the Lord, when we have done the things that the Lord is requiring of us, and we lay down our will and we say, Lord, this is what you're requiring of me. I'm willing to make this sacrifice. And the Lord comes to us and he says, ask me what you want to ask me. You can ask anything. Whatsoever. He didn't say, ask me in this category, I want you to ask me this or that. He said, you can ask me whatever it is that you want. And in that night did God appear unto Solomon and said unto him, ask what I shall give thee. Now the Lord wants us, he said, and in one place the scripture says we don't have it. Why? Because we haven't asked for it. So here is the Lord saying to Solomon, you can ask me whatever it is that you want to ask me, and I'll give it to you. In essence, that's what it infers here. Whatever it is that you want to ask me, I'll give it to you. Now, we've had this thought in our minds, and we've heard about stories as children and whatnot, that you have three wishes, and what would be the three wishes? If you had three wishes that you wanted granted unto you, what would be those three wishes? And you know what a lot of folks would say? Well, what I want is I want a lot of money. That would be at the very top of the list, because a lot of us are going through struggles. And if we had money, it could answer a whole lot of questions. The scripture says in one place, doesn't it say something about money answereth all things? There would be a lot of situations that we would be able to deal with and address if we were millionaires. Now, a lot of the problems that we're having right now financially, we'd be able to deal with them, but we'd have other problems as well. All right? So we should thank the Lord. Lord, none of us are homeless, are we? Anybody here homeless? No. Everybody has a roof over their head. Anybody have a problem with food, that food on their table? No, we really don't. Ultimately, we might say, Brother Darrell, sometimes it's very difficult for us to make ends meet. And I know what you're talking about. And this, I know it from firsthand experience. I've been there, done that. But the Lord has taken care of us, and the Lord will take care of you. He'll take you through these things. So what we tend to ask for those things that would help us in our physical, our temporal side of life. But the Lord is saying to Solomon, you can ask me whatever it is that you want to ask. You know, I believe the Lord is saying that to you and to me as well. That there are things that you can ask me for. There are things that you are struggling with. And there are things that you're dealing with that you haven't asked me to take care of for you. I would have done that for you, but you didn't ask. And so what the Lord said to Solomon, he said, Solomon, you don't think like the average person. He said, you didn't come in here and you didn't ask me for riches and long life and the life of your enemies and good health. These are things that probably the top three things that we would ask for, right? Lord, I want a lot of money, but what good is money? What's good is a millionaire if a millionaire is an invalid? What good is having billions and trillions of dollars if you can't enjoy what they buy? So what do you ask for? Lord, give me a lot of money and then give me the health to be able to enjoy it. And this is what the Lord understood that most people would ask for. And he understood that that's what human nature, that's all about human nature. And so he said to Solomon, he said, Solomon, since you didn't ask for that, you ask for wisdom. You ask for knowledge. You ask for understanding of how to lead the people that I put you over. Now that is a great blessing. That's what we need to ask for. If we ask the Lord, Lord, give me a level of wisdom and a level of understanding that with what you have given me, that I can take this and I can make it a greater, then I believe the Lord would bless us in that way. Do you know most of us have more than our parents had? All right? Most of us do. Very few of us don't. And you know, I look at it sometimes and I think, my dad raised 11 children off of one salary. My mother never worked. And he raised 11 children off of one salary. Now, were we considered poor? Yeah, we were poor, but we didn't know it. I never went hungry.
We always had a roof over our head. It may not have the nicest furniture and the best looking house and all of this, but we had what we needed. So I believe the Lord gave those old time folks wisdom as to take a dollar and know how to stretch that dollar. That was wisdom. That's knowledge. And that's understanding. And one way that they did it, we didn't go to McDonald's every day. We didn't go and eat out every other time because mama didn't feel like cooking. All right? No, you can't go out and eat when you got 11 children. You can't go out and you can't take them all to Pizza Hut. That's too much money. So what the Lord gave them is wisdom as to say, all right, you know what? They can bake a pot of beans. You can go to the store and get a piece of ham hock and some dried beans, sort them out, and that's a good dinner. And some cornbread, that's a dinner for 11 folks. And you can put as much water in it as you need to put in it. Lord, give me wisdom to lead this group of people. And I believe that's what our parents did. Lord, give us wisdom to know how to feed our children. Give us wisdom to know, and let me tell you what they did. When something got a hole in it, they didn't just throw it away, did they? They mended it. Oh, the socks and the pants. And you know, I had pants that had patches on the knees. And you know why they had patches on the knees? Because mama wasn't going out and buying you a new pair until a certain time. And you know, I got shoes that were handed down to me and clothes that were handed down to me. You know what? That's wisdom, isn't it? Now, folks might say, now, Brother Darrell, that's just poverty. You can say all that. But I'm telling you, the point that I want to bring out to us is that the Lord will give you the wisdom to make what you've got stretch. Without us always asking, Lord, give me more, give me more, give me more. The Lord says, what you've got, you know what? You can do more with what you've got. If you'd ask me, Lord, what should I do? What bills should I pay? What should I not do? What should I do with this? Have we prayed about that? Have we asked the Lord? The Lord said, what we're asking the Lord, Lord, give me a better job. There's nothing wrong with that. But you know, folks who've got good jobs don't know what to do with the money that they have. So it sounds like it's a pretty good deal after all what Solomon asked for, isn't it? So sometimes the Lord, as the head of the house, as the head of your house, the head of yourself, and the Lord wants you to lead yourself. And the Lord wants you to do with what He's given you, He wants you to do something with it, doesn't He? And so what do? We ask, like Solomon asked, Lord, give me wisdom with whatever it is that you've given me. Give me wisdom to be able to do with it what you want me to do. I'm not asking for $1 million. I'm not asking for the excellent health and all this. Sometimes the Lord takes us through sicknesses and whatnot, doesn't He? And what He does when He takes us through sicknesses is to teach us how to take care of this body that He's given us. And some of the things that we put into this body is we shouldn't put into it. And some of the things that we put into it, we shouldn't put it into the amount that we put into it. You understand what I'm saying? Lord, help us. We put too much of it in. Let me tell you. You ever heard of having too much of a good thing? Too much of a good thing can kill you. Now, you can make a sweet potato pie for me any day. That's a good thing. And do you know what I'll do with it? I've learned. This is how you fool yourself. You go and take a little sliver about this big because I'm not going to eat very much. And you eat that, and then about 15 minutes later, you come and take another slice about that big. I'm not going to eat any more. But you know, the thing that I've learned is take that thing off that counter. The reason we take it off the counter is because I can't see it. There's something about it. Some of us are like that, aren't we? If we see something, we want it. And it's not good for us. So sometimes what we have to ask for is, Lord, help me. Help me to stop. Help me to watch my appetite. If you're a diabetic, you don't need a bunch of sugar, do you? Have high blood pressure, you don't need a bunch of salt, do you? Lord, help us. So we pray for wisdom. All right, we're going to go a little further here.
Because it says, ask what I shall give thee. So the Lord, in one sense, is telling us to ask whatever it is that we need. Do you need victory in your soul? Do you need some help in spiritual matters? Do you know the Lord is saying, ask and I'll give that to you? Whatever it is that you need, let's turn to John, 1 John 3 and 22. I want to read something out of that. And somebody give me Matthew 7 and 7. 1 John.
3 and 22.
Yes.
Whatsoever we ask.
Whatsoever we ask. Yes.
We
whatsoever we ask, what did it say?
We receive of him.
We receive of him.
Because we keep his commandments.
So there is something that when the Lord says, ask what you will, and he says, whatever it is that we ask the Lord of, we receive it of him. So the Lord is willing to give us whatever it is. He's willing to give us the kingdom. He's willing to give us whatever it is that we need. Why? Because we keep his commandment. We have certain rights in this kingdom when we keep the commandments of the Lord. There are certain things that I can ask the Lord for because, and I can have the confidence in knowing that God is going to give me that thing because I'm keeping his commandments. We, as children, we realize and understand, and you've heard me say this before, as children, we would ask our parents, Mom, can I go to such play with Junior? Can I go over so-and-so's house? And my mother would ask us, did you do what I told you to? Did you clean your room? Did you whatever, fold the clothes? What, take out the trash? Did you do the things that I told you? And if I said no, what do you think her answer was going to be to my request? No. You're not going to be able to go. Why would I not be able to go? Because there was something about what I was supposed to do. I was disobedient. I didn't do what I was supposed to do. But when I said, Mom, I've done everything that you've told me to do, and I even went and I helped my brother and my sister do their work, and they're finished with their work, and it's really nothing for us to do, and I was wondering if it might be all right if I can go to the park and play. What is Mom more likely to say at this particular point? She's more likely to say, yes, she's the authority. She's more likely to say, yes, you're able, you can go because you've done everything that I've told you to do. You've kept my commandments. You've kept the things that I've required and desired of you. And do you realize that God is the same way? You can ask what you will. He says here, ask what you will, and it's going to be given unto you no matter what it is. And so now when I say, Lord, I need help in my soul. I need victory here. I'm going through something. It's very difficult, and it seems like the enemy is pressing in hard on me, Lord, would you give me victory? And the Lord says to me, have you done what I told you to do? Have you prayed? Have you sought my face? Have you read the scriptures? Have you been obedient and walking and doing the things that I've required of you in your personal life? And when I say, well, Lord, no, there are some things that I just didn't feel like were necessary for me to do, so I'm not doing those things, Lord. And what is the Lord going to say? Well, that's where your problem is. Your problem is that you haven't been obedient. You haven't kept my commandments. And you've justified, and let me tell you, we can justify ourselves by not doing what God tells us to do. And any time we don't do what God tells us to do, it's because we've justified not doing it. Lord, the reason I'm not going to do it is because I just don't think that that is necessary for me to do. I don't think that that's necessary to my salvation. Let me tell you, our salvation is a personal walk with the Lord. It is something personal. It is something that is just between me and God. But there are some things that God requires in His Word that I, when I know it and I have a clear understanding, let me tell you, those of us that have been raised in the truth of God's Word, those of, we have a greater responsibility, don't we? We have a greater responsibility because we know more than what the average person knows. And so what our responsibility is to do when we get saved, there may be some things that we can't do. And I'm not going to say all of us are at the same place spiritually speaking. And you know, you've heard me preaching many, many times and whatnot. And I'm not going to say we're all at the same place spiritually speaking, but wherever you are, that's where you're to live. Whatever your understanding, whatever it is in the Word of God that God requires of you and you have clarity and understanding, you can ask God, Lord, help me to live there. Give me the grace of God. And when you have the grace of God, then let me tell you, you can ask Him for that level of victory that you need and you'll have it. I need victory, Lord. He said, ask what you will, and I'll give it to you. I need a deeper walk with you, Lord. Have you noticed that our older people are moving off the scene? Went to a funeral yesterday of an old saint, 82 years old. She passed away, but she was a good solid saint, wasn't she? And now what's happening is, and you know what, she wasn't always an old saint. You know what it is? She was your age at one time. The exact age that you are right now, she was that age. And do you know what our responsibility is? Our responsibility at the point that you are now is to begin to deepen your experience with the Lord. Lord, let me have a deeper walk with you. I don't have to wait until I get 45 or 55 or 60 because it's always, the age is always a little bit older than what you are. So, Lord, if you'll give me what I need right now, give me the wisdom to be able to live this kind of a life. Give me the grace to be able to live this kind of life. I can ask the Lord that, and the Lord will give it to me. Saints, it's necessary. Because what we tend to do, we tend to let those that will be spiritual, we tend to let them be spiritual for themselves and for us as well. Lord, help us. But do you know what? The Lord is calling for you to be spiritual. The Lord is calling for you to be a pillar in the church of God. The Lord is calling for you to be whatever it is that the Lord wants you to be. And do you know where it starts? It starts right where you are. All right? Matthew 7, 7. Ask. Ask what I shall do and what I shall give unto you, is what he said to Solomon. You can ask me what you want to ask me, Solomon, and I'll give that to you. And now he's saying to us, to you, to me, to every one of us here, ask. Ask. Did he say what it is that you can ask for? Did he make any stipulations? Did he put it in a category that, Lord, I need, when we need health, if we need whatever it is, ask. And what did he say? And it's a promise. It shall be given unto you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. Everyone, this is a promise. And you know, there's a scripture in Hebrews that speaks about a promise being left of us of entering into his rest. Any of us should seem to fall short of it. This is a promise. Lord, you said I can ask for it. Let me tell you, you ask the Lord, and if he doesn't answer the first time, you keep seeking him. You keep asking him. You keep seeking. Lord, I know in your word there's somewhere buried in here that you promised to give me this. And Lord, I'm going to stand on it. Because I need it, Lord. I'm not just going to ask for temporal blessings, Lord. I need spiritual blessings. I need something more than what I've got, Lord. I'm not satisfied where I am. I'm not satisfied with what I've got, spiritually speaking. And what we tend to do, we tend to put forth every effort that we can to get all our temporal blessings. Well, you know, if this job isn't working out, I'm going to quit it and I'm going to go to another one. Is there anything wrong with that? It's not wrong, necessarily wrong, is it? But, you know, I see some people, I've had people, you know, somebody was talking about the congregation and how the enemies come in and fought us and whatnot. And I had somebody one time, this many years ago, wrote me what I guess I called a Dear John letter, and they said, Brother Darrell, we're not going to come to church with you anymore because it's just not meeting our needs. I've had that more than once, right? It's not meeting our needs, and we want to be in a place where there's a singles ministry. We want to be in a place where there's all of these things. But let me tell you, and so of course, how would that make you feel? It wouldn't make you feel good, did it? But that's not the answer, is it? Having a singles ministry, and I'm not necessarily saying I'm against that kind of a thing at all, but let me tell you, I can get whatever I need from God. You can get it. We've got to be honest with ourselves. We can't justify wanting to do something different because we have more liberty. And ultimately, that's what happens in our lives. Folks want more liberty. They don't want to make the sacrifice that God is requiring of them. They don't want. And I said to one person, why don't you start it? Why don't you do it? Since you see that there's a need, you're probably not the only one that has this need. Then why don't you do it? You want to just go in and kind of slide up under and allow somebody else to teach you. You don't want to put forth any effort. You do it. You ask the Lord, Lord, there is a ministry for me. There is something that you would have me to do. Lord, help me to be able to do what you would have me to do. All right. But we'll justify what we want to do, right? And you know what? Of course, as a pastor, you know people. You know people in ways that they don't know that you know them. And you can read between the lines. And no, it's not you reading between the lines. There is a spiritual discernment that the Lord gives. There's a spiritual discernment. And a spiritual discernment is different than a natural understanding. So what happens is a person can say a particular thing, and it sounds like they mean something, but the Spirit speaks through that and gives you an understanding that there's something else that is going on. And the Spirit speaks to you through that, and oftentimes there have been many times, I'll put it this way, not oftentimes, but there have been many times that the Lord said that they came to a place where I required a sacrifice out of them, and they're not willing to do that. And so they justify. But do you know what? I've come to those kinds of places too in my own experience. I've come to those places where I know, and I come to them often, where the Lord is requiring me to make a sacrifice. He's requiring me to die to myself, to die. And that is one of the most difficult things for anybody to do. You don't want to die. Lord, and I find out that this happens all down through your spiritual experience. There's a place that God is requiring that you need the level of grace, and the only way for you to die here is to ask me for the level of grace that you need to just change. There's something I want to change in your character. And I've seen so many people come up to that point and the Lord deals with them about it. And the Lord's not going to force you to do it. And they come up there and they will not go any further. And so you know what happens? Rather than them saying, Lord, you know, there's a song that we sing, I saw the death I had to die, the death in which my soul did cry, the frightening waves around me, my soul did chill, but I must yield. It's just heaven's will. I must do it. And we'll come to those kinds of places in our experience that we'll see a death that we have to die, and we'll say in our own mind, Lord, I don't want to die. And then what we have to do is we have to ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened. Lord, I've got to find that place in you that I can go deeper than where I am right now, Lord. I've got to find it. And whatever it takes, Lord, I'm going to get there. If it kills me, I'm going to get there, because the only option is for me to go back, and I'm not going to go back. People want to say, no, that's not me going back. I just don't feel like that's necessary. No, that's you going back. That's you coming up against something that the Lord is requiring of you, and you're saying, I'm not willing to do that. I just don't want to do that. And so therefore, I don't think it's necessary for me to do it. And then what you want to do is you want to blame the church for requiring it. The church don't require you to do anything. Nobody requires you to come to church. But the Lord requires you to do it. And so what we have to do when we come to those places, and we'll all come to those places in our experience from time to time, we have to die to it. And we have to say, Lord, I'm willing to die. I'm willing to die. Just die. And the only way for me to do that is for me to ask you to help me to die. For he that asketh, receiveth. He that seeketh, findeth. And to him that knocketh, it shall be open. What man is there of you? Son, ask bread. We'll give him a stone. If he asks for a fish. Now you love your children, and they are in desperate need of bread. It would be a cruel joke for you to give him a rock. It would be cruel. What kind of father would you be? That if he asks for this and he really needs it, and you're going to, he needs it for his own well-being, you brought him into the world. You have a responsibility to take care of him until he can take care of himself. Period. Doesn't matter what age he is. Until he can take care of himself, you have that obligation because you brought him into this world. And so in the same way, God has an obligation. He makes himself obligated to you and to me that he brought us into this world, and anything that we need and we ask for it, he's going to give it to us. I need bread, Lord. He's not going to give us a stone. All right, read. If he asks a fish, will you give him a serpent? If ye then being evil, you have the capacity for evil, All of us have the capacity. All of us have been there at one time in our lives. There are folks out here that are evil people, but ultimately they love their children.
Yes.
Is that, now what did it say?
If we know how to give good gifts
unto your children,
how much more shall your Father,
which is in heaven,
give good things to them that ask Him?
Whatever you would have men to do to you, do ye even so to them. For this is the law of the prophet. All right. And so he says, then ye then being evil know how to give good gifts unto your children. How much more shall your heavenly Father, which is it, your Father which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask Him? So what is it that you need today, saints? What's your need? Ask, and you shall receive. You need something. You need money. You know what? I've told you stories after stories how the Lord supplied money for me that I didn't know. I didn't know where it was coming from and didn't have it, and the Lord supplied it. He can do anything. All right, but that's not it. And I know also people help. Well, we prayed, and the Lord, and probably every person in here has a testimony that God healed them because we asked Him. Somebody asked Him. But what about your spiritual battles, the things that you face from day to day? Do you realize that you have the capacity and the ability and the responsibility to ask the Lord for the grace that you need and the victory that you need and the power that you need? You have that obligation, all right? 1 John 5:12. Let's see. That's actually it's the 14th verse that I want.
1 John 5:14.
Yes.
And this is the confidence that we have in Him.
That if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. And if we know that He hears us,
whatsoever
we ask, that we know that we have the petitions that we have desired of Him. All right, so He says here, this is the confidence that we have in whom? Who is He talking about here? This is the confidence that we have in God. We can have this confidence in God that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. So you know what we should do when we're asking something? He says to Solomon, and obviously when He spoke to Solomon, Solomon didn't know. We're looking at the history of Solomon here. And it gives us a guideline to go by. Lord, I need the wisdom to be able to do what I need to do with what You've already given me.
Amen.
And when You've given me wisdom to do with what You do what I'm supposed to do with what You're giving me, then I can ask for something else. Because what I found that happens is that the Lord gives us can be stretched. You know what did Jesus do with the loaves and the fishes? What did He do? He prayed and He asked the Lord, Lord, You see this, and Lord, I thank You, and Lord, we need You to multiply this. We need You to break it off and give it to 5,000 people. Do you suppose that the miracles that they did back then, the Lord can't do them now?
Amen.
You suppose that the Lord wants to do them for you?
Yes.
So pray over what you got.
Yes.
And then pray according to the Lord's will. Lord, I want whatever it is that I'm doing now, Lord, I want it to be according to Your will. I want You to be glorified. And all we have to do is say, Lord, not my will, let Your will be done. And all we have to do is submit our will to the Lord's will. And as long as we know He heard us. Now, what would prevent the Lord from hearing us? A lack of faith. What else? Disobedience. All right, what would prevent God from hearing us is a lack of faith. Disobedience. What else? Lack of humility. God resists the proud. He gives grace unto the humble. All right? A sin, hidden sin in our lives that we don't tell anybody else about, but we know that it's there. So one of the first things that we ask for, Lord, I want to be honest with myself. I want to be honest. I want You to look at my life. If there's anything, the first prayer that I pray is, if there's anything that would hinder this prayer, then Lord, I want You to reveal it to me, and I want to do it. I want to do business with You right now. That's the first prayer that I pray.
And Lord, if there's nothing that's hindering, and we spend some time with the Lord, and we wait on the Lord, and as we're praying, Lord, because I'm getting ready to ask you for something big. I'm getting ready to ask you for something else, so I want to make certain that you hear me. I want to make certain that there's nothing that is between you and I. I want to make certain that there is no barriers or partitions or any unwillingness on my part to do what it is that you're requiring me to do. And when we say that and we pray that and we mean it in the depths of our heart, the Lord will do something about that. Say, He will. And then I can pray and I can say, Lord, according to your will, this situation here, this situation that I'm going through, whatever it is, this issue that I'm having in my life, and I don't even know what the issue may be that you're going through. But the Lord knows what the issue is that you're going through. And so you can say, Lord, whatever this issue is, you said that I can ask whatever it is that I want to ask, Lord. And I know you hear, I know you heard me. And I know you're going to honor my request, Lord, because I'm endeavoring to please you. I'm not endeavoring to please myself, Lord. I'm not endeavoring to please men. I'm not trying to be a man pleaser. I'm not trying to please the folks at church. Lord, I'm trying to please you. And Lord, if I can please you, it doesn't matter what the folks at church or at the job or anybody in my family, it doesn't matter. I'm not a man pleaser. I'm a God pleaser, Lord. Have mercy on me and help me to please you. And then, Lord, I know if I'm pleasing you, then I know that you, if you're pleased with me, I know I'm going to be pleased with what you do in my life. Even if it's trials, even if it's problems, I know that it's something that you can do for me, Lord. Would you do it? I need grace. I can't deal with this woman or this man or this boss or this teacher or whatever it may be. Lord, I can't deal with them, Lord, but your grace is sufficient for me. You didn't remove it for Paul, did you, Lord? He had a thorn in his flesh and he prayed and he asked you to remove it and you gave him an answer, didn't you? You said, for your benefit, I'm not going to remove it. But if for your benefit, I'm going to give you the grace to bear it. It's a win-win situation. If they remove it, it's good. If he don't remove it and he gives you the grace, it's a win. You can't lose. Living for the Lord, saints, you cannot lose. Don't try to cut a corner. Don't try to compromise with what God has shown you. Just live it like the Lord tells you to live it, like you understand it, like the Lord has shown you, like the Bible lays it out in His Word. Live it like that, and you can ask what you will. Ask what I shall do unto you. Ask, what do you want me to do? I'm here to give you the kingdom. What is the kingdom? What is the kingdom of God? It's not meat and drink, but it's righteousness, joy, peace in the Holy Ghost. It's something spiritual. And the Lord is willing to give it to you. Whatever it is that you need, all you have to do is ask for it. Lord, I need more of this kingdom. I need more, a greater level of righteousness in my life, Lord. And you know what? All I have to do is what? Ask. And do you know why some of us are so spiritually weak? It's because we haven't asked the Lord, Lord, give me what I need. Do you know sometimes, have you ever been in a situation where you just don't feel like praying? I'm talking real life, aren't I? You don't really feel like reading your Bible? Well, brother dear, and listen, I've been there. Preacher, yeah, a pastor, and sometimes I don't feel like reading the Bible. So what do you suppose I do in those times? Well, you know, I'll do it later. I'll do it later, maybe tomorrow or next week. What if I did that? Do you suppose that I can become, that I would be this solid man eventually by foregoing what I knew to do? You know, but what if I decide, do you suppose that every time I come to church, I want to preach? Oh, I get to preach today. You know, sometimes you have to labor to get a message. It's not easy. And sometimes you know, preachers have personal problems too. They deal with things and all the while we've got it, Lord, you're requiring me to be able to go to these folks and to preach to them and give them encouragement and motivate them in the things of God. But you know the first thing I gotta do? I gotta ask the Lord, Lord, you motivate me. So what is it? What, ask what I shall do unto thee. I say, Lord, I need help. Yeah, you know how often I ask that? Every single week. Do you know every week I don't know what to preach on? And I say, Lord, please give me something. I don't know what the folks are going through. I know what I'm going through. I know what a handful of folks, maybe in my family, are going. I don't know the depths of it sometimes. But Lord,
give them what you want them to have. Amen. And so I began to pray, and I pray, and I ask the Lord, Lord, have mercy. And you know what the Lord does? Ask what I shall give you. Lord, give me a message. Give me a message, Lord. And what did the Lord do? He gives you a message. And do you know what I do? I say, thank you, Lord. Sometimes it's like, phew, thank the Lord, I got it in the nick of time. And let me tell you something else. I'll express something else to you. You know, there are lots of messages that I have that are in various stages. I shouldn't say a lot. There are a few. They're in various stages of being worked on. Lord gives you a thought and you go and you write it down and you begin to work with it, but it's not for that moment. It's not for that time. This is why we depend very heavily on the anointing of the Holy Ghost. We need that more than we need anything else, saints. We need it. You need it in your life. I need it in my life. We need it in our services. And do you know what? Let's ask the Lord for that. We're coming up on a meeting. Let's ask the Lord to heavily anoint it, but not just the meeting. Let's ask Him to heavily anoint your life. Let's ask Him for that, Lord. And you know what? Maybe what you're asking for, you don't really realize. You're going to go through some trials. You're going to go through some problems. And folks don't need to know that you're, well, what's wrong? What's wrong with you? Things just aren't going well. And saints, I'm going through all these. What if I got up and I said that? You know, things aren't. Because sometimes it's true. Things aren't going well. Well, you don't know what they just did. Somebody just talked about me and took all my money and all the things. But what do we say? Lord, the Lord give, the Lord take it away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And you keep going. Don't have a pity party. Amen. And let me tell you, some of us are susceptible to it. We want somebody to pat us on the back and say, oh, bless your heart. You having a hard time too? I'm having a hard time too. Who's going to pat me on the back? And so I go to the Lord, and I say, and the Lord doesn't let me be in a place of self pity. He ain't gonna let you be in it either. Lord, I feel so sorry. The devil is just whipping me all upside the head. He just really, this week has just been a real tough week for me. You can't do that. Not a warrior. You're in the battlefield. You ask the Lord, Lord, give me the power to be able to stand against the enemy and fight him with whatever it is that I need to fight him with. I'm not yielding here. I'm not succumbing to something that seems like it's okay. Self-pity, whatever it is, I'm not going to go. I'm not falling to that. I'm not falling to that. Amen. Lord, give me what I need to be able to stand my ground and to stand toe-to-toe to the devil. You've already given me the victory and helped me to stand in that victory. By the grace of God, I have not because I've not asked for it. So I don't have the level of victory that I need because I haven't asked for the level of victory that I need. Saints, you've got to ask. Ask what it is that I shall do for you. Whatever it is, I'm willing to do it. It's what the Lord is saying. You can ask what you will, and it shall be granted unto you. That's a promise. And then he presents it in the Bible in many, many places, all down through the Scriptures. And there are many Scriptures we won't even read today where the Lord granted their petition simply because they asked. Oh, what needless pains we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. What do? Lord, here's a burden that I've got. I need you to take care of it. Will you take care of it for me? That's what I'm asking you. Will you take care of this problem that I'm bearing, this burden that seems to be such a heavy weight? Lord, I need you to do something for me. And you know what the Lord will do? The Lord will do it for you. The Lord will do it for you. But you know what? If you want to carry that big burden on your back, and He's right there, and He's presenting it to us, He's talking to you today. He said, you can be bent over the rest of the week if you want to, but I'm right here beside you, and I'm asking you, I'm hinting to you, I'm telling you that you can give it to me, that you can cast all your care upon me. Why? Because I care for you. But the reason you're still carrying that is because you haven't asked me to take it off your back. Lord, help us. That's where we are. What do you want me to do for you? What is it? Tell me what you got three wishes. What do you want me to do? What is it that you want me to do for you this week? Today. What trial are you going through? What problem are you dealing with? What situation that's beyond your control that you haven't asked me? Nothing is beyond my control. Nothing is even hard for me to do. So now I am one that has the authority to be able to tell you that if I can say I can do it, I can fix it. I can fix it for you. So, you know, and here's something else that the Lord showed me not too long ago. That we come to places after we have trusted the Lord for a certain period of time. We begin to trust. We think we're trusting in the Lord. And we're really trusting in ourselves. The Lord had to show me that. You're trusting in the fact that you got all this intellect, that you got money, or that you got health, or you got all, you can't trust in that. Saints, it's okay to trust the Lord for the healing of your body. It's okay to trust the Lord for your material, your temporal benefits. The Lord is able to do that. He wants you to ask Him. And He wants you to not justify you. And the Lord showed this to me. He wants you to not justify you trusting in yourself or trusting in man. He showed this to me. And what, I won't bring out the situation, but it was a situation that the Lord said, Daryl, you are trusting in you. I didn't know it. I'll tell you what, you know, sometimes we do the right things, and there's nothing wrong with that. We eat right, we do what we're supposed to do, and we trust in that to do the healing. That's not what heals us. And so I've been eating right, and I've been doing some things, and I still have a problem with eating sweets. Y'all can pray for me on that. I need to pray about that myself. But you can eat too much of it and it can have an effect on you, right? Especially, somebody made some sweet potato. If you get anything with sweet potatoes in it, I got a problem. That's my weakness, all right? You got to make a sweet potato pie, you make a sweet potato. What was that thing you made, Serena? A Danish, which really was a sweet potato pie folded up in a different way. I got a problem. I need the Lord to help me. And He has. But I want to say this, and I'll be done. One of the things that the Lord showed me, okay, Brother Daryl, you have been eating right. You've been watching your diet. You've been eating mostly vegetables. And so you can get your blood pressure under control and all the other things. And the Lord blessed me. And the Lord began to show me that you feel like those are the things that are actually doing it. Now, He said, that's not what's doing it. I'm doing it. The Lord is doing it. And He said, I don't want you to trust in those things. I want you to do them. I want you to do what you're supposed to do, but I want you to just transfer your trust, just adjust it and trust me and not those things. So you see how we can actually do the right things, and in our mind, our mental capacity is that we're really, well, if I do this, and I do this, and I do this, and everything should be okay, right? No, the Lord's saying, no, that's not what it is. You cannot take your eyes off of me because of these things. It's good that you're doing them, but I am the one. I'm the one that heals you. And so the Lord helped me that you do what it is that you're supposed to do, and then I'll heal you. That means you're obedient to what the laws of nature are, and then I'm going to heal. I'm going to be the one that heals you. And you know what we can do? We can actually not really realize it, that we're transferring our trust into the things that we do and making the right decisions, in eating the right food, in being very industrious in this, and when our trust should be in the Lord. May the Lord help us. He says to us, ask me whatever it is that you want to ask me, and He'll grant those petitions for us. Pray for me.